Oklahoma was written off. It was said that they could not compete in modern college football with the big dogs, especially in the SEC. And after last season, it was said that the program could no longer win at the highest level. However, the Sooners beat Michigan this weekend, and not only did they beat Michigan, they made a statement. It was not just a win on the schedule. It was a program-defining victory, I think, for Brent Venables' tenure. Michigan has been the standard for college football the last couple of seasons. Tough, physical, disciplined. And Oklahoma went toe-to-toe with them and came out on top. This is the kind of win that flips the narrative. All of a sudden, Oklahoma isn't just rebuilding. They're competing. They're not trying to catch the big dogs. They are one of the big dogs. Suddenly, Brent Venables doesn't look like a coach on the hot seat. He looks like the guy who might be restoring the Sooners' identity. And for a fan base that's been waiting for that we're back moment since Lincoln Riley left, this feels like the real thing. Oklahoma isn't just winning games. They're winning respect. And in college football, that is everything. Welcome back to the Section 408 podcast. I am your host, and we're going to be talking about some of the big topics from week two of the college football season, starting with Oklahoma's big win over Michigan. You know, if you listen to my kind of preseason prediction for them, I said that I thought they were a top 10 team on paper, but their schedule was just really daunting. A lot of the narrative last season was Oklahoma was, you know, losing ground in the SEC, should have stayed in the Big 12. I know this wasn't an SEC game, but it might as well have been in terms of the athletes that Michigan has and who they are as a program. And I was pleasantly surprised by how Oklahoma came out. If you're not familiar with me, I grew up as a Nebraska fan. And I still am a Nebraska fan. So in the Big 12, I always had a lot of respect for Oklahoma, respect for that rivalry. I wish they played more often. And I was really interested in this game, obviously, because it was a marquee game. But Oklahoma's always held kind of a special place in my heart. No, I'm not a fan, but, you know, I kind of pull for them. So first thing, when you get these two blue bloods together, it's going to be sweet regardless. It doesn't really matter the circumstances. Michigan, Oklahoma is always an awesome matchup in the sport. And one thing I've always liked is Oklahoma, when you watch it on TV, or I guess in person as well, when they have the kickoff, they shoot off the cannons, which is pretty cool. A small little touch I like. And I'm a little weird in that I like when I'm watching a football game, I love listening to the home crowd when the team is on defense. They just, even though I think most people don't care about that, for me, it just makes it that much more fun to watch on television. And it seemed like the atmosphere was incredible on Saturday. But as far as the game goes, they were able to go toe-to-toe with Michigan in their trenches, which, you know, if you're an older college football fan, you're like, yeah, Oklahoma, of course they're going to be a smash mouth kind of team in the trenches. But that hasn't always been the case in recent times with the Sooners. And that was a big concern for me. But they kind of dominated in the trenches. We knew OU's defensive line was going to be great going into the season. And it was weird because when I was watching, it seemed like they were able to penetrate a lot more, but I think if I remember correctly, they only got one sack. But it seemed like they were really able to dominate the game on their defensive line, which, again, is a great, great sign for the Sooners going forward. Their defense was flying around and hitting people, and I was like, what am I watching? This is an old-school kind of game. There were big hits, and, I mean, they were flying around, and that's what you want out of a defense. That is exactly what they were missing in the Lincoln Riley era, and they have that defense now. And yeah, there's going to be a question mark as far as like, okay, what is Michigan really? But even if they're not the same national championship caliber team, they're still a great program with athletes all over the field. Another huge thing was John Mateer in this game. He was 21 of 34, 270 yards passing, one touchdown, one interception. But he did rush for 74 yards and two touchdowns, and he carried the ball, I believe, 19 times. And this guy, you know, I knew he was a good quarterback, but he seemed like the difference maker in this game. Like, who is this guy? And again, all of a sudden, when we look at how Oklahoma comes out, it's like, wow, they are a really good team. And they can handle a lot of these teams on the schedule that I was previously worried about if they play as well as they did. I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself because as far as Mateer goes, he wasn't perfect. He had some throws he probably wanted back. He should have had another interception. But they don't want him to probably run 19 times a game. But what he did was he made the plays to win the game for them, which is huge. Again, like this was a big matchup for Oklahoma, and I think they were favored. But I was nervous for them coming into this game because of Michigan. And now I'm looking at it like, okay, if you can beat Michigan, you can beat a lot of teams in the SEC. Like, I don't, when we look at their schedule, assuming they play as well as they played today, right? Or this past weekend. If we just look at their schedule, it's like, okay, it is ridiculous, but they can beat virtually everyone. I'm just going to go over the notable games on their schedule, the SEC part of their schedule. Auburn at home. I like Oklahoma in that game. Texas, all of a sudden, doesn't seem like an automatic loss. South Carolina, on the road, going to be difficult. I mean, Oklahoma can beat them. Ole Miss, also tough, but you get them at home. You play well, you can win that game. Tennessee, on the road. Tennessee's great, but are they much better than Oklahoma? I don't know. At Alabama, all of a sudden, you're probably going to be favored in that game, and you beat them last year. Missouri should handle them. LSU, okay. Okay. I mean, that's probably a loss, but if they show up in this same way that they showed up this weekend, they might possibly win 10 games. I mean, I would probably bet on closer to 9, but this is a much better team than I think most people anticipated. Again, I did predict them to be a top 10 team on paper in terms of their roster, but their fans should be extremely excited. And Brent Venables, I know they beat Alabama last year, which was huge. To me, I think this was kind of the signature game so far of his tenure, at least since they've joined the SEC. I know, again, this wasn't an SEC game, but just this, I was so impressed by the Sooners. On the other hand, Florida fans, it's time to hit the panic button. Losing to USF isn't just a bad day at the office. It's a full-blown embarrassment for a program that prides itself on being part of the SEC's elite. Now, before I go in on Florida, yes, USF is a good team. I'm already thinking they're going to make the college football playoff as the group of five representative. However, you do not lose to a team like South Florida if you're truly building something stable. And that's the problem. This feels like proof that Florida isn't building anything at all and that they're slipping. You know, I kind of bought into the hype last season after they picked it up in the second half of their season, finished 8-5, and like, okay, you know, Lagway is going to continue to get better, and they have some momentum, or they had some momentum coming into this season, I thought. And, you know, I bought into all that offseason. Apparently it was propaganda because the offense was not consistent in this game, and the coaching staff looks overwhelmed. When you're in the SEC, you don't get the luxury of patience. The rest of the conference is reloading every single year, while the Gators are, it seems like, losing ground and searching for an identity. I mean, you know, we can talk about it, but I really thought that Dan Mullen was the guy to at least keep them relevant within the conference. And of course, in this modern expanded playoff, I think they probably would have been right there. You know, the truth is, this wasn't supposed to be a rebuilding season anymore. I'm not saying they should have made the playoff, especially with their schedule, but you cannot lose to this team. You cannot. Even if USF, this is their best team ever, Florida still has the horses to beat them, and they should beat them by multiple scores. We're going to get to the game in a minute. This loss wasn't just one game. It is a warning sign. If the Gators cannot handle USF, what happens when they play Georgia or LSU or the rest of the conference? You know, Florida football is supposed to be feared. Right now, it's just frustrating. And Gators fans, they're fed up with it, right? And one thing I love about college football is every season, there's a team that has expectations, that has history, that somehow just falls flat and they kind of embarrass themselves. Again, I'm a Nebraska fan. I've been victim of that many times. Last year, it was Florida State. This year, maybe it's Florida and Alabama. You know, Alabama's happy that the Gators lost. But As far as this game goes, there were some, I think this was a program loss. Like, this wasn't, oh, their defensive line was just too good. Like, no, this was a top-to-bottom program loss. And this doesn't mean that, you know, Florida's players are not trying. This doesn't mean that they're not good. Of course, they're great players, right? But I kind of put the blame on Billy Napier, like a lot of people are, because 11 penalties for 103 yards cannot happen. They had a guy spitting on another player. Cannot happen. And there were too many major mistakes for me to think this was a one-off. They had the botched punt that turned into a safety. They had the ball in the lead with 2 minutes left, and they were throwing the ball. Again, you got great players. I understand that. But as a head coach, what are you doing? What, just get out with a win. And when USF got the ball back and they were trying to win the game, there was one run where I think it was a screen pass. USF's running back broke three tackles, and he was able to run down the field for 20-something yards and get him into field goal range. I'm not saying Billy Napier should be fired. He is 20-20 at Florida, which, again, they are not going to be happy about. But I just don't see him turning this around, and then all of a sudden Florida is going to be a national championship contender, which is what they want and what they expect. Like, I just don't see this thing turning around to that extent. The good news is there's still time to prove that they are a good team. They still have some games on their schedule where they can upset some teams. And I think, like, their season is not necessarily over. But, I mean, there's red flags everywhere for this Gators team. And the thing about it for me, is in 24/7, their sports talent composite, the Gators are 12th, which means on paper, based on who's on their roster, they should have the 12th most talented team in college football. So there is no way, they have no business losing this game to USF, even if USF is a college football playoff team. Now, when we get into the Gators' schedule the rest of the season, it is pretty scary. Next week, they go at LSU, then at Miami. I mean, you would assume two losses there. And then they play Texas at home, probably a loss. And then A&M, again, difficult game. Mississippi State, okay. Then they face their rivals, probably a loss. Kentucky, I like your chances in that game. At Ole Miss, not looking good. And then at home against Tennessee, not looking great. And then lastly, against Florida State. I mean, you tell me, do you see 8-9 wins in this schedule? I don't, especially with how they performed last week. So it's going to get weird. I'm pulling for Billy Napier. I've always, you know, Florida has, in my opinion, some of the best uniforms in college football. I want to see them do well, but they should be hitting the alarm bells down there in Gainesville. And if you liked this episode, please give us a follow, and I will be back with more content very shortly.